As we come to the end of lesson four, an awesome power, and we ended last Sunday with a profound suffering, a deep suffering. Okay, it's a pain so painful, it's so profound. Like what Sam said in a prayer meeting, thank that the Lord died for us, was buried, and he rose again. This is what it's all about. But before he did, he suffered a profound suffering for you and for me. Okay? And that's what he did. So in 1 Peter 1:11, it says, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. He died for you and for me. And he, like Sam said, he not only died for you and me, he was buried, he died, but he rose again. When, to me, the Lord's Supper is very important. Okay? Why? Because before that, on Wednesday, and that cross, when you see that cross, it represents the death of Christ that died for you and for me and for the whole world. It's not just a cross hanging there. If you miss the significance of what that cross means, then you missed the mark. Okay? But it testifies of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow after that when he arose. And when you and I believe, okay, we have hope that even though here on earth we'll go through some suffering, okay, but our hope is in heaven. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing this morning as you teach us about your suffering that you suffered in our place, Lord. Everything that happened to you, Lord, was because of what we caused you to go through, Lord. We saw we say that the Romans crucified you, Lord, but every one of us that you had to die on the cross for, that's everybody, Lord, crucified you. The spitting that the soldiers and everyone that was spitting on you, Lord, when we rejected you, Lord, it was like us spitting on you, Lord. We're so sorry, and we thank you for what you've done for us. Be with us this morning, Lord, and may we see and appreciate what you have done for us, Lord. And as you suffered for us, Lord, you say that if any man follow me, fix not his cross, then he can't follow, because, Father, sometimes we're going to go through trials and suffering, but may it be for your honor and glory. So be with us this morning, Father. And, Father, we thank you for all the mothers that you gave them the privilege of being mothers, Lord, the grandmothers and our sisters and our moms. And we just thank you, Lord. Yes, we praise your name, but we also thank you for giving them this privilege, Lord. So be with us this morning. Christ, and we thank you. Amen. Let's hear, how can we really speak of suffering when we ponder the trials of the one who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? Nothing that we endure in our trials can compare with the suffering of Christ on our behalf. Okay? In Isaiah 50, verse 6, it says, and that's just Isaiah speaking before this happened, I gave my back to the smiters. Okay? You know that Jesus got whipped 39 times with a whip that had thorns, about 2 inches apart, big old whip, leather whip with thorn. And when they would whip Jesus, they took off his clothes, and those soldiers, 6-foot-tall, big old arms, without compassion, that whip would wrap up around them, him, and then they would pull and tear the skin of our Lord Jesus Christ. 39 times, I mean, if I was there and just a soldier picking up that whip on me, I would faint. And I mean, that was a big old whip. It wasn't no wimpy whip. And the Romans would torture people. Okay? They were good at torturing people. And every time that whip would wrap around our Lord Jesus Christ, they wouldn't let it come down by itself. They would, just like when you spin a top, and the skin. And when Jesus fell on the ground, look what happens after they're beating him. Sam has a beard. Kevin has a beard. Some of you have beards. Look what it says here. And my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. When he was on the floor, get up, you dog. Spitting on him. And he was so badly hurt. And when he was lying down, they picked him off from the beard. Get up, you dog. Boom. Whipping him. They tore off. I mean, they plucked the beard off his face. It just, he was bleeding. They hit him with a stick, a rib, boom, and they didn't just tap him. His head was so swollen, so out of place, so bleeding. It wasn't like when they see that little Catholic like to put that little wimpy Christ with a little bit of blood. No. The Bible says that they beat him up so bad. Okay? Not only was he bleeding, was he full of spit. Okay? They took his clothes off. Can you imagine you being nude in front of everybody? That's so shame. But you know what that represents? That when you and I are before Christ, and if you're there before Christ without no clothes, it'd be like, oh, what a shame. Thank God that you and I, when we face Christ, will have the rope that Jesus will dress us with. Okay? That we won't go through that. But all this happened to him while he was going. So they were spitting on him. Look at what Isaiah 53:5 says. He was wounded for whose transgression? Our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Those stripes, those whippings, those spittings would have been you and me. That shame that he suffered, okay, that profound pain that he felt was because of you and me. I've heard in TV, and we've seen it, where I saw this in the airport. I don't know where it was. I don't know if it was Phoenix. And this little girl running, he just crosses, and there's a car coming full speed. Okay, and there's a guy just to get hit, that little girl. And that guy jumps in front and pulls her out, and that guy, boom, gets hit. This is what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. He took the bullet for you and me. The shame and the spitting and everything that goes with it, that you and I would have been before Christ without, before God without Christ. All that shame he did for you and for me. Okay? This is a profound suffering. It's not something to take light. Okay? In Hebrews 13:12, it says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify his people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Everything, have you ever lied? Even as Christians, we lie sometimes. We don't mean to. Did you know that Christ died for your past sins? Your future sins? I mean, your present sins and your future sins. When Satan comes and attacks us, yes, we feel dirty, but the Holy Spirit guides us to repent, not to accept Christ again because we've already done it. The Holy Spirit brings us back, and we can say, when the devil comes accusing me before my Lord, and you know what the Lord says? His sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Like I've never sinned before. Okay, that doesn't mean I'm going to go doing what I'm not supposed to. No, but I have the Holy Spirit that will always, and you have it, that will always drive you back to where it's right. But he paid our filthy, disgusting sins. And every single sin, none of what I've done, but what you and the whole world has done. All that spitting that he received. Have you ever seen when somebody spits on somebody? Oh, it's a shame. But it's like you and I spit on Jesus Christ. And all his shame, the shame that you and I deserve to carry on us, he took upon his own self. Okay? In Luke 22:44, again, it's a profound suffering. It says, look what it says in Luke 22:44, "And being in agony," okay? Agony is an extreme pain or suffering, especially the kind that lasts for a long time. From the minute that Jesus was betrayed, from the minute they took him to Caiaphas and all that, and they took it to Pilate, he was suffering. Okay, over there, Pilate whipped him also. And from that time, the humiliation that he went through, okay? He says, "And being in agony," this is where before he is with his disciple taking what the Lord calls the Last Supper. We call it the Lord's Supper. And he's there, and they had just taken the Lord's Supper. They go to Golgotha, to Gethsemane, okay? And he knows what's coming, okay? He knows what ahead of time, and so he says, not my will, but your will be done. And so the Bible says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, he wasn't, okay, it's as if, it wasn't blood, but because otherwise his clothes would have been all full of blood. But there's an agony. Now, remember, it's cold. And for a person to be sweating something, he was heartbroken. He was heartbroken. You and I, when we lose somebody, we cry, but this cry was for the whole world, not just for one person. And he falls to the ground as his disciples are asleep. And he kneels down and he starts saying, Lord, not my will, but thine will, Lord. And as he's praying, he knows what is coming to him. And so his heart is so much in pain that he starts sweating when it was cold. And his sweat was like if he had been running a marathon and it was going down to the ground. I mean, he was full in sweat, and the sweat would fall like when somebody's bleeding. Okay, it wasn't blood. It was as it was drops of blood. But that means a lot of times that suffering that he was going through, that he knew that he was going to go through, that it was going to take a long time, that process. And when on Wednesday, they early in the morning, they had already, he took the Lord's Supper on a Tuesday, according to what I read, and by 6 o'clock, they had already condemned him. By 9 o'clock, he was already on the cross, but they whipped him. It was something. They whipped him, they spit on him, they put a crown of thorns on his head, and that crown was about 2 inches thick. They didn't, oh, be careful. Have you ever, my wife has rose bushes, and sometimes I try to cut them. Ah! They're very sharp. They're very painful when you get poked by one of those. Can you imagine? He was already bleeding. His face was all torn. When they would whip him, that whip would get his face. And for you and me, okay, that cross represents where our Savior died. But as Sam said, he didn't stay there. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And he's coming again for you and me, okay? And this is the reason that Peter is telling them all this is because they were going through hard trials. There was a lot of persecution. But he would try to encourage them, remember, if you're complaining, remember he died a cruel death to rescue you. Okay? So this is what's happening. He said in Mark 15:34. Look what it says. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Elohim. This is what gets me. How many times, especially Pastor, and some of you, when you go to a hospital and there's a dying person, their tongue sticks to the back of their throat. They can't speak. Their lips are dry. They can't speak. I don't know. Okay? Jesus had already bled, was in so much pain, and being on the cross. Because once they put him on the cross, when they nailed him after they had beat on him, okay, after they had put that crown on him, and they nail him and they stretch him, and then they stretch him, boom, boom, and then on his feet, they nail him. They pick him up, those soldiers pick up the cross, and there's a hole about maybe 2 feet. You know what they did? They dropped him in there. Wham! For you and for me, he did it. Okay? But he says here, and at the 9th hour, which was, the clock would start at 6 o'clock, okay? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. The 9th hour was 3 o'clock. Did you know that Moses, when they came out of slavery, okay? When they came out of slavery, at the 3rd hour, they killed the Passover. And that's why they put the blood on the post and all that. And then they went out, okay? For us, the death of Christ means we are free from sin. We are free from sin. And so he's up there and he cries at the 9th hour when the sacrificial lamb was supposed to be killed. And he says, Elohim, Elohi lama sabachthani, with a voice greater than you and I, when he's about to die and he still has that power. You could hear probably when he said, Elohim, Elohim lama sabachthani, okay? Which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you could hear it mile away, his voice, from a dying person, because he was God in the flesh, and he was in control even of his death. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what he was saying? At that time, the whole sins of the whole world fell on him. Okay? And when you and I accepted him, you know what he did? He turned, he became sin for you and me. Okay? And so when God had to turn his face from him, so that the blood of Christ, now he sees us through the blood of Christ. And he accepts us. So that's what when he said, my God, if that's something that you and I would have said if we would have died without Christ. My God, in hell. But he died for you and me. A cruel death, okay? So when we are tempted to complain about our trials, it is wise to take a trip back to Golgotha and read and ponder the prophecy that was given in Psalm 22. You know that David said this too when they were after him, but he's prophesying also about the death of the Lord. David felt all alone. Jesus felt all alone. When he was participating in the Lord's Supper, and instead of them praying for him right there, they're fighting. The apostles are fighting to see who's going to be the greatest in heaven. And Peter is saying, I will die for you. And he says, tonight you're going to deny me. And Judas is going to betray me. And he felt all alone. Where are my friends? I mean, they're all around me, but all of you will abandon me. And he felt so all alone. And when you and I feel so all alone, thank God that we can say, that God says to us, "For I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." All because of what he did, okay? But, okay, so as we follow Christ, okay, we'll see a partner self-denial, okay? Are we willing to partner with Christ in this area of suffering? Okay? Are we willing to bear the cross that the Lord placed on us? Look at what Matthew 16:24 says. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You have to deny the flesh. You have to deny the world. I gave my life. You gave your life to Christ. You cannot be following the world and following Christ. You cannot say, "I have a little bit of wine and I'll have a little bit of Christ." It's one or the other. Are you willing? Yes, your own family are going to give you a hard time. Yes, your neighbors, and maybe you're going to suffer because of you following me. Are you willing? Okay, this is what he's saying. So are we willing? Not that I'm looking forward to suffering, but when we do, "Lord Jesus, I thank you that what I'm suffering is because I'm following you." Okay? And then look at what, this is Paul in Philippians 3:8. When we decide to accept the Lord, we have to leave the world behind. Otherwise, you won't grow. Look what he says. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Are we willing to leave things of the world so that the world can see Christ in us? Okay? Are we willing? We want a crown one day, but are we unwilling to bear the cross of suffering? We want easy lives here and still be rewarded at the judgment. It doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. We have nothing in which to glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so to end this lesson, Job, and with this I'll finish. In Job 23:10, this should be our prayer also. Especially you and I that have lived up to, how many times have we gone through trials in our lives? How many times have we seen the Lord take us out of there? Okay? But it says here, Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Notice, when he has tried me. And when the Lord tries you, he has a blessing for you. The Lord's not going to try you to tempt you and leave you there. When the Lord allows a trial in your life, and you might not know why, but know that when you're out of that, you are going to come forth as gold. And this is, it ends with chapter 4, an awesome power and a profound suffering. So let's go ahead and pray. Thank you for being here. Father, we pray that we might that we might appreciate what you have done for us. That we don't just come to church just because, Lord. When we come to church, Lord, we come to worship you, Lord, because you deserve every bit of our time. When we sing, Lord, and worship you, it pleases you, Lord. When we have fellowship, when we pray for one another, Lord, and when we sit down to listen to your word, Lord, Father, it pleases you. And thank you for the opportunity. Father, help us to live for you. May the world see Christ in us, and we'll give you the honor and glory, Father. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Thank you.